Shall we now turn once again to the book of prophet Ezekiel, chapter 6, Ezekiel chapter 6, and we shall read from verse 5 to 7. And I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and seized, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. The title this evening is, You Shall Know That I Am the Lord. You shall know that I am the Lord. God proclaims that He is the Lord and that you shall know. They shall know. Everyone will know that He is the Lord. This phrase, you shall know that I am the Lord, or this sentence, you shall know that I am the Lord, or they shall know that I am the Lord, occurs 72 times in the book of the Bible. 72 times. But in the book of Ezekiel alone, it occurs 58 times. 58 times. Definitely God is sending a very strong message indeed. The time and the circumstance of this message from God is also important. The Lord God reinforces His claim to be the Lord over Israel and the Lord over the nations. And when Israel was taken captive into Babylon, and furthermore Jerusalem, and the temple is about to be destroyed completely. So this is the background, the circumstances in which Israel was. And this message comes to them saying that He alone shall be known as the Lord. Now you might say, how can God claim to be the Lord, and how will He show that He is the Lord when terrible things are happening to the Jews? How will the people know that He alone is the Lord when such disasters are taking place towards the people of Israel? Well, God wants to show that this trouble, this terror, this destruction that has come upon them is from Him, so that they know that He is the Lord. The Lord God begins this message from chapter 6. Let me read few verses, and God speaks through prophet Ezekiel. So chapter 6 verse 7, and the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. Alas for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by the pestilence. Verse 14. So will I stretch out my hand upon them, and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness towards Diblath, in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Verses 9 to 11. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to the ways and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. Behold the day, behold it is come, The morning is gone forth, the rod had blossomed, pride had budded. Violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor of their multitude, nor of any of theirs, neither shall there be wailing for them. Verse 25 onward, destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancient. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Now God repeats this to the people of Israel 58 times. God also says that what he is about to do to the nation, not only to Israel, but also to Moab, and to Ammon, and to Tyre, and Zidon, and Egypt, and adds that they will know I am the Lord. Why should the people know that he is the Lord? Why should the people know that the God of Israel is the Lord? Well, this is because he alone is the Lord, and there is no other. All worship, honor, obedience should be to him alone. And God revealed that Israel and the world have failed to do this. Israel, his very own people, acted unfaithfully. They treated the true and living God with contempt. They treated God with their abominations. Therefore, God is saying, I will ruin your pride. I will bring terror and disaster upon you, and you will know that I am the Lord. The Lord God taught the people of the earth two things. First, the first is that he delivers people from destruction. He delivers the meek people from oppression. He taught them that he is the loving and faithful God. He made it known to the people that he is the creator. He taught people that he is the protector, the provider, and preserver. He revealed to the people that he is a just God and just ruler, and that he is the king. When he delivers people, they will know that he is the Lord. The second thing is that God taught the people is that he is the Lord that hates rebellion. He hates pride. He hates wickedness. He taught the people that he hates unfaithfulness. He hates unrighteousness and unholiness. And he sends a strong message that he destroys those that think and act wickedly. And when he does this, they will know that he is the Lord. So either way, in all things, he is the Lord. Now, God, the Lord, not only tells who he is and what he is, but he does what he says. The Bible is the book of God, his word. The whole sacred document, that is the Bible, is kept for the people of the earth to know that what he has spoken and the things that he has said, he will accomplish. He will accomplish. There are things that are spoken of the end times, as we read even in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus telling us about the end time. And you find this in the Old Testament also. So there are things that are spoken of the end times, and it will be accomplished. It will not fail. It will not fail. And we all agree that it is not enough for someone to say that he is almighty, that he is a deliverer, that he is a protector and the creator, and so on. Anyone can say this, but it must be proven. It must be shown. And God proved to the descendants of Abraham that he is the protector, the deliverer of the oppressed. God proved that he is the Almighty God, the Creator God. You know, God revealed to Abraham that he is the Almighty God. God also revealed to Moses, the descendant of Abraham, that he is the I Am Who I Am, the Lord. God revealed to him that he is the ever-existing one, everlasting, and that there is none other beside him. Now, how did the people of Israel and the world come to know that he is the creator and the deliverer of the oppressed, that he hates idol worship, that he hates injustice and pride? Well, people learnt of this when the nation of Israel on one side were oppressed by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and on the other side, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, acted proudly. And he and his people worshipped all manner of gods and goddesses. He refused to know the Lord, the one who is I Am, Who I Am. The people of the world saw these two situations in one country, Egypt. The descendants of Abraham, called Israel, were enslaved, were oppressed, were weakened, were brokenhearted, in sorrow and pain. So God chose Moses and told him, I am the Lord. Go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I am the Lord, let my people go. The people of Israel would experience firsthand that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob is the deliverer of the oppressed. They would experience firsthand that God is the savior of the weak. They would experience that he is above all gods, that he is the creator, and that all the living things are under his command. God showed that he is in command and that every created thing obeys him. By using and destroying Egypt, he did this by the very things that Egypt worshipped. Egypt worshipped all kinds of gods, created things, but God used these very created things to destroy the land and the people of Egypt. And the Lord showed that he is the Lord by delivering the people of Israel from the mighty hand of Pharaoh and his army. The people of Egypt and the people of the world, as I said, worshipped created things. And archaeology, digging the earth, have found that the worship of gods and goddesses, fertility gods, worship of serpents and worship of created things have been the way of life of the people of the earth all over the earth. Well, how did this worship come about? For example, they were afraid of the sea in which lived the crocodiles, for example. And this crocodiles would enter the land and cause havoc among the people. This river or sea was the River Nile, a huge river. They were afraid of the river that flooded their land and killed their crops and people. They were afraid of the locusts and the frogs and the flies and the hailstones. anything that destroyed their farm, their shelter, and lives, they worshiped them as their gods and goddesses. They gave them a divine status. They offered sacrifices to them to appease them so that they will turn away their anger from them. They even worshiped the serpent. The worship of serpent is found everywhere among the people of the earth. The people were blind to the fact that such calamities were coming upon them through wild creatures and natural forces because they had rejected the Creator God because of their many sins. They were blinded to the fact that they had made the spirits of their ancestors into divine beings and forgot that God alone is to be worshipped. They were blinded to the fact that idol worship was a terrible rebellion against the living and true God. They did not realize they had to repent of their sin. They did not realize that they had to repent of their immoral life. They did not seek after the living and true God. They were in darkness and they did wicked things. They did not follow the law that was put in their conscience. And God used the natural elements to punish the people so that they would turn to Him. But instead, when this happened, they turned to the nature, to the forces of environment. In Egypt, God clearly showed that the very things they worshipped was a tool in the hands of God, which He made use of to bring calamities upon the people of Egypt. He punished them with His created things to show that He alone is the Lord. Today the world is moving towards the same belief. We look at the volcanoes erupting. We see the tsunamis creating disaster. We hear about earthquakes taking place, and we see flooding and forests burning all over the world, everywhere, storms and tornadoes causing havoc of property and farms and people, and we say it is because we have defiled the environment. We have polluted the environment. We have grieved the Mother Nature, Mother Goddess Gaia, and therefore Nature Goddess is angry, and we must now bring in laws to appease the Nature Goddess so that the gods and the goddesses will be pleased. A forthcoming Christian conference is titled Climate Change, Another Gospel. I say climate change is another religion. It is a religion. It is not a new religion. This religion is as old as sin and rebellion against God. You know, Cain went to God with the offerings of his labor that he produced from the earth. He expected God to honor his work and the produce of the earth. Since God did not honor the work of his strength, nor the fruits of the earth, Cain was angry, and he killed his brother Abel. Abel went before the Lord with a sacrifice. With a sacrifice, he shed the blood, because that is how God had told and taught his parents to come before him, that you are a sinner, and therefore, in order to have communion with me, an innocent must be killed. The animal, the blood has to be shed, because without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You see, no one can stand before God and make God honor their own created idols, whether it be of man or of the nature. And that's what Cain was trying to do. God warns against worshiping the sun and the moon and the stars and the trees, idols, earth, sky, serpent, calf, humans, and all manner of created things. The word of God rightly says in Romans chapter 1, verse 22 onward, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Dear friends, brethren, people do not realize that we have departed from the living and true God. People do not realize that we have forsaken the Creator God. We do not examine that we have polluted our souls and have broken God's commands. Therefore, it is God that is bringing these disasters so that we may repent and return to Him. Has not the Lord Jesus warned about famines and pestilences and earthquakes? All these are the beginning of sorrows, He said. And God has already warned that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. And God says, all this shall take place because of the wickedness of all the people of the earth that has come before Him. He will come with vengeance. The day of the Lord will bring great disaster upon the earth, and all will know that He is the Lord. Just as God used natural elements to punish and to destroy the pride of Pharaoh, He does the same today. He does this so that you and I and the world should know that He is the Lord. Never have, dear friends, men felt the fear that the earth is having its last days before it will be rolled like the ball of fire. Yet people go on as usual. The media constantly bring before our eyes live events of the catastrophic nature of the fury of the wind and the waves, the volcanoes and the fires. And God allows the media to show to the world things happening so that it becomes a warning to all. God is sounding the alarm that He is beginning to do something terrible. He is beginning to warn people that His terrible day is coming upon the earth. Recently, I watched a film about natural disaster, an apocalyptic, catastrophic event was about to take place. Only one scientist begins to suspect that there is something unusual happening. And he begins to point out that the plates in the earth are moving, shifting. He tells his team that billions of years ago, these plates had moved, and now they are about to come together. The question is, were you there billions of years ago? Are we just to believe you because you wear a white coat? Besides, who moved them? Who is bringing them together? The earth does not have a mind of its own. The sea does not have a mind of its own. There is a designer, a mover, and the shaker of the universe. That is the Lord. That is the Lord. The Lord has always been showing and declaring that He is the Lord. When calamity strikes, even the most passionate atheist calls on the name of the Lord, crying out, "Oh my God!" You see, you cannot escape from the truth. It is the Lord. You cry out to Him so that He can save you. Without such calamities, without oppression, without pain, without sorrow, we humans would not know the deliverance, the kindness, the compassion, the faithfulness, the justice, and the judgment of God. We would not know the Lord. So in everything, dear friends, dear brethren, let us humble ourselves before the Lord, both in our personal brokenness and when the earth, the sea, the sky breaks up. God is sovereign. Let us honor Him and give Him all glory and submit to His ways. As the scripture says in Psalm 37, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Let us pray. O gracious Father, over and over again, Thou, O Lord, warns us about the day that Thou will bring. The day of the Lord is coming. O gracious Lord, we pray that we will be prepared for it. That we will, O Lord, not wait till the end time. Only those who endure till the end shall be saved. O gracious Lord, we pray, dear Father, that we will make our peace with Thee today, if we have not made. O gracious Lord, our God, we pray that Thou, O Lord, who seek after the lost, will find those who are still lost. O gracious Father, show Thy compassion and Thy power, even tonight, in saving many as they have heard the good news of salvation, not only here, but Lord, in the length and breadth of this nation and all over the world. Father, we pray that Thou will bring many to the saving knowledge of truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.